They're about to shut the door on your last refuge of privacy, and almost no one is talking about it. I'm Whitney Webb, and what I'm about to tell you isn't speculation, it's happening right now, while everyone's distracted by the latest political circus. Tomorrow morning, the most significant change to internet freedom since its creation goes into effect, and I can guarantee you're not prepared for what's coming. For the past 3 years, I've been investigating a coordinated global effort to implement mandatory digital identification systems for all online activity. What started as voluntary guidelines has transformed into the most comprehensive surveillance apparatus ever created, and your government just made it law. The legislation that passed quietly last month doesn't have an ominous name. They're smarter than that. It's buried in Section 4 of the Digital Economy Security and Access Act, deliberately bland language designed to avoid triggering alarm bells. But make no mistake, beginning tomorrow, the internet, as you've known it, ceases to exist. I've spent the last decade documenting the steady erosion of digital privacy, but nothing compares to what I'm seeing now. This isn't just about tracking your browsing habits or serving targeted ads. This is about creating a permanent, inescapable digital identity that links every word you type, every site you visit, and every transaction you make to your government-issued ID. And it's all centered around what they're calling trusted online verification. Let me walk you through what I've uncovered. In early 2023, I obtained internal documents from a closed-door meeting between government agencies and major tech platforms. These documents revealed a 5-year implementation plan for mandatory online identification systems, with tomorrow marking the final phase. What was discussed in those meetings never made it to congressional hearings or public debate. Instead, it was presented as a technical solution to combat disinformation and protect children online. The system being activated tomorrow works like this. Every internet service provider, social media platform, financial application, and news site will be required to implement a verified access portal that links directly to a centralized digital ID database. To access these services, you'll need to authenticate through this portal using biometric verification tied to your government-issued ID. They're calling it seamless verification, but what they've created is a digital checkpoint system that follows you everywhere online. And the most disturbing part? The legislation includes what insiders call the phone home feature, a continuous verification system that periodically reauthenticates your identity without your knowledge or consent. I've seen the technical specifications. This isn't just logging in once with an ID. The system performs background authentications approximately every 15 minutes, creating a continuous record of your online presence that's linked directly to your legal identity. Every search, every message, every purchase, all permanently associated with your government ID in real time. When I interviewed a senior developer who worked on this system, he told me something I'll never forget. We're rebuilding a digital passport system where the stamps are invisible and automatic. Think about the implications of that statement. Your physical passport shows where you've been. This digital passport shows everything you've done, said, or seen online forever. The public justifications for this system follow a familiar pattern I've documented throughout my career. First comes the appeal to safety, protecting children from online predators. Then security, preventing financial fraud and identity theft. Finally, convenience, simplifying access to government services and reducing password fatigue. But these justifications collapse under scrutiny. In countries where similar systems have been implemented, like Estonia's Digital ID or India's Aadhaartha, promised benefits rarely materialized while the surveillance capabilities expanded dramatically. What did materialize was unprecedented government access to citizens' private communications and a dramatic chilling effect on political speech. Last year, I traveled to Estonia to investigate their much-praised digital ID system. What I found was alarming. Political activists described how their social media accounts were suddenly flagged for additional verification after participating in anti-government protests. Journalists showed me evidence of selective throttling of their internet access during sensitive political reporting. None of this appeared in the glowing case studies about Estonia's Digital's success story. The system going live tomorrow makes Estonia's look primitive by comparison. The technical architecture I've reviewed allows for real-time content filtering based on your digital identity profile. This means your access to information can be customized or restricted based on factors like your occupation, political affiliation, or social connections. In my investigation, I discovered a classification system with over 40 different trust levels that determine what you can see and do online. These trust levels aren't publicly disclosed, and there's no process to challenge your classification. Your digital existence will be shaped by invisible barriers you can see and didn't consent to. The most chilling aspect of my research came from internal communications between government agencies and tech companies discussing preemptive content restriction, the ability to automatically limit access to certain information based on predictive models of how you might use that information. This isn't science fiction. It's explicitly built into the technical specifications of the system going live tomorrow. I've spent months analyzing the actual code repositories and API documentation for these systems. What I found was a sophisticated architecture designed not just for identity verification, but for comprehensive behavioral tracking. Every click, pause, scroll, and keystroke generates metadata that is linked to your verified identity. This creates what one technical document called a behavioral fingerprint that's more unique and revealing than your actual fingerprints. The legislation includes provisions for what they call identity continuity, meaning your verified digital identity follows you across devices and platforms. Switch from your phone to your laptop, use a different browser, even try to access the internet from a friend's device, the system still knows it as you through a combination of behavioral analysis and device fingerprinting. When I questioned officials about these capabilities, they insisted they were only for security purposes and fraud prevention. But the technical documentation tells a different story. The same systems designed to verify your identity are explicitly built to enable content filtering, access restrictions, and what they euphemistically call community standard enforcement. What does this mean in practice? It means that tomorrow, when you log into your social media accounts, read news sites, or simply browse the internet, you will be doing so as an identified, tracked individual whose every action is being recorded and analyzed. The anonymous internet, the last refuge of free expression in an increasingly monitored world, will effectively cease to exist. I've documented how similar systems have been weaponized in other countries. In Brazil, after implementing their digital ID system, government critics found their banking services mysteriously restricted. In Singapore, users who questioned government policies online reported sudden technical difficulties with their internet connections. In each case, officials denied any connection to political speech, citing automated security measures or technical glitches. The system being activated tomorrow has another disturbing feature I uncovered in my investigation, identity federation. This means your verified digital identity isn't just used for logging into websites. It becomes the central authentication mechanism for physical access systems, financial services, healthcare, and transportation. Your ability to access basic services in the physical world becomes dependent on your digital identity status. I interviewed individuals in India whose Aadhaar digital IDs were suddenly deactivated due to verification anomalies. They couldn't access their bank accounts, receive government benefits, or even purchase train tickets. Some spent months trying to resolve these anomalies while effectively locked out of modern society. There was no judicial process, no right to appeal, just algorithmic decisions with life-altering consequences. The same architecture is now being implemented here, but with even fewer safeguards. The legislation contains vague provisions for identity security measures that allow for immediate suspension of digital identities for equally vague suspicious activities. When I asked officials what constitutes suspicious activity, I received technical documents listing over 300 behavioral patterns that could trigger restrictions, including accessing certain types of information too frequently or communicating with flagged individuals. Perhaps most concerning is what I discovered about the private companies building this infrastructure. Following the money led me to a familiar pattern, the same defense contractors who built surveillance systems for intelligence agencies are now constructing the digital identity systems that will govern online access. The technical specifications are nearly identical to those used for monitoring foreign adversaries, except now they are being turned inward towards citizens. I obtained financial records showing that these companies have invested billions in artificial intelligence systems designed to analyze the massive data streams generated by continuous identity verification. These aren't simple authentication systems. They re-sophisticated behavior prediction engines that create detailed psychological profiles based on your online activities. When this system goes live tomorrow, every website requiring age verification will connect to this centralized identity system. Every financial transaction will require authentication through it. Every meaningful online interaction will be filtered through this surveillance checkpoint. And all of it will happen so seamlessly that most people won't even notice the cage being built around them. The most effective aspect of the system is its invisibility. There won't be dramatic censorship or obvious restrictions that might provoke resistance. Instead, information will simply become harder to find for certain people. Connections will become less reliable when accessing certain content. Financial transactions will face additional security measures when supporting certain causes. The system is designed to create friction, selectively, invisibly nudging behavior without explicit blocks. I've seen how this works in practice. In countries with similar systems, political activists describe a phenomenon they call digital quicksand, where nothing is officially forbidden, but certain online activities become progressively more difficult through mysterious technical obstacles that can be directly attributed to censorship. What can you do about this? First, you need to fully understand what's happening. The system rolling out tomorrow, IS&T, simply about age verification, fraud prevention, or safety. It's the foundation of a permanent, unavoidable digital identity owned, designed to follow you across every platform, every service, every device. Once embedded, it will link your online presence to your offline life in ways that make anonymity effectively impossible. This isn't an upgrade. It's the construction of a surveillance infrastructure that tracks not just what you do online, but who you are at every. Second, support the legal battles already underway. Civil liberties organizations are preparing constitutional challenges because the legislation behind the system is riddled with vulnerabilities, especially regarding the First Amendment's protection of anonymous speech and the Fourth Amendment's protection against unreasonable monitoring. These challenges can succeed, but only if the public understands the stakes and is willing to stand behind them. Silence will be interpreted as acceptance. Third, educate yourself on privacy-preserving tools while you still have the ability to do so. VPNs, Tor, encrypted communication platforms, and anonymization technologies remain available today, but that availability is not guaranteed. Hidden deep in the legislation are provisions targeting so-called circumvention tools, a category broad enough to restrict or criminalize the technologies that currently protect millions of people from intrusive tracking. If you wait until these tools are regulated or banned, it will be too late to learn how to use them. The reality is simple. The window is closing. Understanding the system, supporting the legal resistance, and learning the tools of digital self-defense are the last meaningful actions available before this new architecture becomes permanent. Finally, recognize that this system represents a fundamental transformation in the relationship between citizens and authority. The internet was once a space where power hierarchies could be challenged through anonymous speech and uncensored information sharing. The system being activated tomorrow explicitly aims to end that era and replace it with an internet where every word and action is tied to your legal identity forever. I've spent my entire career studying the slow but undeniable rise of surveillance capitalism and the quiet expansion of government monitoring. For years, these systems grew in parallel corporate platforms collecting data to fuel profit, and state agencies building unprecedented capabilities under the banner of safety. But what I am witnessing now is different. It's the convergence of these two forces into a single unified architecture of control. Tomorrow, when you're interrupted by a prompt asking you to verify your identity to keep using services that were once free and open, recognize what's happening. This isn't about convenience, security, or protecting you from fraud. It's about eliminating the last traces of privacy. It's about making anonymity technically impossible. It's about ensuring that every digital actionary search, every message, every purchase can be traced back to a real, verified individual. For decades, the internet served as the last truly democratic frontier, a place where ideas spread freely, identities could be fluid, and ordinary people could speak without fear of retaliation. That freedom is now being rewritten. Under the guise of modernization and safety, we're being ushered into an era where participation in digital life requires total transparency of the self, What's coming isn't a single switch flipped overnight, but a coordinated shift tone that normalizes constant authentication, persistent tracking, and the quiet erasure anonymous speech. And once these systems are in place, reversing them will be nearly impossible. The choice is still ours, but only for a moment longer. Whether we accept this new reality or refuse it will determine the future of digital freedom. If enough people understand what's at stake and are willing to push back, the trajectory can still change, but the window is closing, and tomorrow marks a decisive step.